Hello, thank you for coming. I have a suggestion for all of you. Would you mind to come here closer to me? Because I'm doing something different probably from other meetings. I will ask you questions, so I need to see you. So if you don't mind, come closer to me. Oh, this is a brave lady who are coming closer. Good. So let me ask you, what do you know about Italy? What is your idea about Italy? When you think about this country, which is so far away from here, what do you really know? Yes? Fantastic, yes, absolutely. Something else? Lot of history, yes. Yes, yes, exactly. Pizza. What else? Fantastic. You are going to study history at college, right? What else? Yes. That's why we are so good in soccer. What else? Good food, yes. Ferrari, Lamborghini, fast cars, what? Oh, yes, exactly. Huts?
There's a really old church there.
Yes, exactly. What else? Exactly. Very few Christians. So that's a good point. Italy is a well-known country all over the world for many reasons, and you explained some of them. But from the spiritual point of view, Italy is really the opposite of a nice country to live in. We have 60 million of people living. Guess how many believers there are in the country? A few thousand, yes. Percentage? Less than 1%. Really, 0.6% of the Italian population say to be evangelical. And that is for a large scale. You have liberals inside, whatever you can say evangelical. So it means that in the main towns you can have some churches, but in all the villages that you can see around the big towns, there isn't any evangelical church. And not only any evangelical church, but any believer at all. And many of these villages never heard about this gospel. The only thing that they heard is about the Pope, the Vatican, the Catholic Church, the Mary, Jesus, and all the saints. So most of the people in Italy never heard the gospel, which is very strange. As you said, we know that in Italy there is the Vatican and the Catholic Church is very strong. Guess how many Italians are Catholic? I mean, really Catholic. Okay, everyone who is born in Italy would say he is a Catholic, he is a Christian, because they got baptized after a few days, they had a confirmation, they are Italian, so everybody is Catholic. But you have Catholics who don't believe in God at all. You have Catholics who don't believe in the Trinity. You have Catholics, they never go to church. So if you say to an Italian, are you a Christian? he would say, yes, I am a human being, so I am a Christian. It's like more or less to be a Muslim, really. And so when we evangelize an Italian, we have to teach him that to be a human being doesn't mean that you are a Christian. These are two different things. So it's a double effort, really, to explain the gospel to an Italian. So anyway, here is myself and Manuela. I'm 56, Emanuela is 56. We got married in 93. Next picture. Another one. And these are the little kids we had many years ago. Now they are grown and kids. We have a third one. This is, was the first day of Lisa's school. And this is Eva, who is now 12. So we have three kids. Next picture. Tommy on the left, who is 21, Eva in the middle, and Lisa, who is 36. You see that they are three redhead little kids. And this is another picture. Next picture. Okay, we are in the countryside where we live near my our home. Next one. Okay, another one. And the reason why I'm here and the reason why we are connected with Jerry at Dawn is that many years ago, in 2007, in their home, we had a meeting, a particular kind of meeting that we had with Jerry, Ron Pierre, Jim Aleph, and Paul Briggs from Lafayette. And we spent time together, a week together, to pray and had a kind of brainstorming and to ask the Lord what to do in Italy. And what came from this meeting, an historical meeting, that as soon as I was able to go back home with another family, we were about to work for a church planting work in our town. I got converted in a very, I was very young. I come from a Catholic background. My parents divorced when I was 8, and my mom was quite desperate after the divorce. And she had a friend who had a friend in her office who witnessed about Christ. They never heard about Jesus before. They started to have a Bible study in our home. After a few months, my mom became a believer. And I was so little, obviously, I attended the only evangelical church in our town. It's a town of 250,000 people. And in the middle of the 70s, there were just one church with the 30 people. And that was the only evangelical church at that time. That church was founded by a mission organization called OM. A group of believers came to our town, Mantova, and stayed there for 2 or 3 years evangelizing. And after a few years, maybe 10 people came to Christ and they established a church. And we got converted basically in that church. And it was a brethren church. So attending the church, a few years later I went to a youth camp in Florence, and the Lord spoke to me and changed my heart, my life, and in a very simple way I became a Christian. Next picture. In after the meeting we had with here in 2007, we started to evangelize with just two families all over Mantova. Every day, morning and evening, we were in the streets, in the marketplace, reaching out the community. And this is one of the things we did in the parks. Yeah, next picture. And this is one of the first pictures that we took many, many years ago. The church wasn't big like that. This is not a mega church. But here we had 70% of this group was a group of a school who came from San Diego, helping us to evangelize the town. So every year we had groups from churches or Christian school helping out to reach out the community, especially the young people. So here basically the Sola Grazia Church was about 15 people. All the rest were people who were coming from outside to help us. Next. And the church really grew up little by little. I would say that doing church planting is the hardest work that a Christian can ever do, because you have to face so many issues from evangelizing, find the right way to connect with people, making friends with everybody in the local community, and think about where to meet, how to pay. You have to solve problems about budgeting, doing ministry without having money. It's a chaos, really. So doing church planting is such a difficult task to reach. Next. And here was one of the kids came. It's a camp for 10 days we did for the local community. And you see the guys with the green T-shirt were the guys from the Santa Fe Christian School in San Diego. And all the rest of the kids are friends of our kids at school who were inviting, we were inviting for the camp. And for 10 days, we had these fantastic experiences of sharing the gospel to them and talking about Jesus for the first time to these little kids and then to the families as well. And here is a picture of our service. Our church now is about 40 people coming to church. Most of them are members of the church, but we have visitors who are coming to visit us and to hear the gospel. And what we experienced in the last 15 years since we established the church is that many people come to our church. Many people came to our church, and many people left the church. Now, my question is, why do people come, and why do people leave? Maybe you don't have this kind of thing in your church. But guess why people come and go away? They are curious, yes. Sorry. Yeah, the cost to follow Jesus to great. Fantastic. Yes, absolutely. Something else. Some people come to church because to be in a church is a nice thing to do, and to stay with other believers. And there is a peaceful moment during the week where you can stay with other good people. But then they discover one thing. They are not believers. And they are not fit at the end to stay inside the church, because there is a cost, because the demand is great, and because the gospel hurts the heart of an unbeliever. So they come, they thought to be believers, they discover that they are not believers, and they leave. They don't come back. So one of the difficulties that we have as pastors or leaders in the church is to accepting the people, making friends, serve them, helping them, loving them, and then They go away without even saying anything. This is heartbreaking, constant, daily battle that we have. Okay, next picture. This is another thing that we do. Here is Marcello doing the adult Sunday school for the members of the church. We do that every Sunday morning while the kids are doing the kids Sunday school. And after 40 minutes, we have a break, we have a coffee break, and then we gather adults and kids, we do the service all together. So the kids can learn from the message what also the parents are hearing from the message. And so at home, they can talk about the message, what happened in the service all together. Next picture. What we do also inside the church and also for community, other people from other communities, is to training disciple men and ladies. And so here my wife is leading the women's group, and I'm leading the men's group once a month. Next one. And here is Jerry with his wife Dawn. I think this was the last time you came to visit us. And I want to say thank you to you as a church for giving us for a while, almost every year, Jerry and Dawn to come to visit us. Because it's so important and so vital for our church planter or missionaries around the world to have visits from people that they love us and they take care of us, so that they come and see how the ministry is going, they can pray for us, they can do counseling, we can share all the struggles we have, we can share and ask questions, how would you do this, how would you solve this kind of problems. And having people who are coming from your church or other church to encourage us is so vital. Most of the time, the battle is so hard that discouragement, loneliness, sense of being empty in the ministry is so great. You know that Operation Word is a book about mission, says that Italy is the graveyard of missionaries, because the results are so few, so little, that after three years, 95% of the missionaries or pastors who come from abroad, they leave the ministry in Italy and they call back. So it's shocking. If you think that most of Christianity comes from Italy, and one of the best, most important letters in the Bible is the book of Romans, who was written for Italians, let's put it in this way, not just for Italians, obviously. But this country is so hard, the soil is so hard, and the darkness is so deep, that you can understand, or it's difficult to understand, how hard it is to minister in Italy. Discouragement is every day. Every day there is a discouragement. I can tell you that Sunday evening for me, or Monday morning, are the most terrible moments in my week. I see all dark. And I don't see any light, any hope, and I would love to do something else during that day. And I would love to leave the ministry for a few hours. And so, as I was saying, to have people like Jerry or others who are coming or phoning, send a message, a phone calls, and say, oh, hey, look, how are you? How can I pray for you? Can we come to visit you? How can we encourage you? Can we pray for you? How is your family? Blah, 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 blah. It's so important, so vital. So What I want to say, every time you send to us, Jerry and Dawn, and or to us or others, you are doing ministry to this difficult kind of ministry around the world. So thank you for letting them come in and to see us. Next, so this is Mantova, the downtown. It's very historical. You see Dawn, my wife, one young lady in town. One of the problems that we also have when we do church planting is we don't have families all together that come to Christ as a unity, but we have parts of the families who come to Christ. So we have conversions or of a wife or a husband or kids of a family who are unbelievers. So we have split families in the church. And so while it is so good to have conversions, but when you have broken families who are coming to the church and the husband is not a believer, giving problems, headaches to the wife who are coming to church, is always a big restriction and problem for the believer. So another thing is when a young lady or young man comes to Christ, they don't find a partner, because the church is more, not just our church, but other churches, is difficult for to find a partner, believing partners. So pray for Hella. We have several others, young men and girls who are, they find difficult to find a believing partners. Yeah, next picture. This is what we do also when we have Jerry coming to visit us. We enjoy the fellowship in different ways. And this is a pizza time for lunch on, I think it was on Monday after the service. Next picture. And here is my wife Emanuele in our home. As she trains people in the church, she trains ladies all around Italy online. And we did it since COVID, and we just decided to stop to do training for people, men and ladies, online. We are tired of Zoom and things like that. We want to see the people in real. So we want to keep doing our conferences for men, pastors, families, ladies, in real person, as we did it before COVID. But she developed really a way to train so many women all around Italy who want to study the Bible more and more. Next. And this is what we do very often, at least once a month. We eat together after the service. Sometimes we have a guest from outside, sometimes we don't have it, but we share a big meal together after the service, and this meal goes on for hours and hours and hours. You know, Italians really love relationship. They never stop talking. They enjoy to make fun and have fun times. I have the problem to stop the meetings, and the only way I can stop the meetings after the service or things like that is switch off the light, switch off the air conditioning, and let them go. Otherwise, the service lasts 8 hours, and we need to have a break for that. But the fellowship is really great. We enjoy to stay together, and people are very happy to invite also friends in this kind of occasion where meal and food is main ruling thing, where people can enjoy and share their faith all together. Next. So this was the last Bible conference we had, Spiritual Warfare with Jerry Marcellino. So when Jerry comes, he really comes, I want to say. It's not a fake news. He really does a lot of ministering, counseling, talking with the people, and encouraging us to walk with the Lord faithfully. Yes, next one. And here is our youth group. You can see it's a very small, but it's so lovely to see young girls. Well, here is more young girls. We don't have a boy, just one. And to grow up and stay together and sharing, you know, the things of the Lord for their life. And here, what they do when they stay together in homes, they play on Saturday evening. And this lady you don't see is an old lady. Her husband was with us when we started the church. His name was Mario. Mario went to the Lord a few years ago. He was a great evangelist. He was an amazing man. Mario was one of the key men that reached out a man who was in prison. His name was Giuseppe. Giuseppe was a drug dealer, alcoholist. He spent most of it of his time in prison. And the last time he was caught by police was 2013. He went to the restroom, he bowed his knees, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, save me, I'm lost, I am a mess, I need you." He went to the library of the prison, took his Bible and started to read. He didn't understand a lot of that, but he found a leaflet in the Bible that Mario, her husband, put in the prison. And he wrote to the mission in Switzerland to have a Bible study, to receive a Bible study. And so the mission, after three months, sent the request to Mario to go and visit Giuseppe in prison. Giuseppe was released from prison. He was home arrest for 2 years. Mario went to his home and said, "Look, I'm Mario. I received this leaflet from prison, from the mission, while you were in prison, and I don't have time to waste. I just want to share the gospel with you, and I want to pray for you, and I want to read the Bible and teach the gospel to you. If you want something else, I'm not available." And Giuseppe said, "This is what I want to hear from somebody." So we started for 2 years in his home with the policemen around us to do a Bible study for 3 hours every time, reading the Bibles, explaining the gospel 3 times a week. And after 2 years, Giuseppe was released from this kind of prison, and he joined the church, he got baptized, and he's a great disciple of Jesus. It's a great joy to see how Giuseppe was changed by the power of the gospel. And he's a great man, and God willing, he will be soon a deacon. Next picture, and this is me how when I preach in the church. Next one. And one of the difficult things today for us to evangelize is to find the right way to reach out to people. Years ago, it was easier to do a street evangelization, knocking to the doors, giving leaflets in the mail. Now we don't do it anymore. What we do is become friends to somebody, sharing a meal together, having a coffee together, and speak about the gospel. But as a church, one thing that we do is on Sunday, we don't do the service in our church building, but we do the service on a park where the people are. So what we do is to create a kind of service as we do a kind of picnic. So we gather together, we have a guitar, very simple, in a very informal way. We sing together for us, not for the people outside, but for us. We share Bible verses, we pray together openly, and one guy, me or one of the other elders, we preach, and we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel to the community, but really we are preaching the gospel to the people who are around us or are doing a picnic. And so this was, I think, the first kind of service that we did in the park. We can do it just in May and June and in September, because even in Mantova it's very hot and humid during July and August. But it's very nice because it gives the opportunity to the people to be exposed to other non-believers and have the chance to witness to them. So we will do it as soon as I go home next Monday. We'll set up meetings like that in the parks. And these are two new elders. They became elders 2 years ago, Massimo on the right and Marcello on the left. Marcello and Massimo didn't become a Christian in our church. Massimo comes from a Pentecostal background, Marcello from a brethren background. Marcello moved to Mantova because he changed job and he had to change city. Massimo, he started to read the Bible in a more deeper way, reading some books, and he wasn't really happy about the doctrine in his church, so he was searching online some other churches around him, and he found us. And the first time that he found us, we had the baptism. He listened to the service, he listened to the sermon, and the following week he came to visit us, and from that point on he never left the church. Massimo really grew up so much, and he started to read and study books so hard, and his maturity in Christ was so high that after 4 years he was with us, it was the right time after some training to become an elder. And Marcello, who comes from a different background of our church, he stayed in our church for 2 or 3 months, and a Sunday afternoon I had a phone call from him and said, "Look, Andrea, I need to talk with you because there is something that I want to share." So I said, "Okay, this guy wants to leave the church as many others." So in the afternoon we went out for a walk, and he said, "Look, you have to tell me something. For 20 years I've been a Christian. You have to explain me straight away why I hear in this church things that I never heard before. Why is that? Why you are explaining the Bible so clearly and things that I never heard, and what is the reason?" So we took a long walk, and for months and months we have to study the Bible seriously. His mind was really exploding about how it was like a sponge retaining all the things that he was listening in the Bible. And 2 years ago we started a process for him to become an elder, and with Massimo we had this privilege to have two new elders in the church. So while I'm here, they are doing the work, and they are doing the work very well. Okay, next one. I don't know what time is it. I don't know. 15 minutes. Okay. We need to speed up. Okay, next. These are the service in the park. Next. Okay. These are the side of the books. I was trained at London Theological Seminary when I was 23. My passion coming back from seminary, it was to giving good material in the hands and resources in the hands of the people. When your country, the pastors and preachers, the elders, the leaders, do not have anything to study, as it happened like that in the 90s, when I came back, my passion was giving books giving material, giving resources in the hands of the people. In the 90s, the only books we had in Italian were just books from charismatic and Pentecostal background. So when I came back, my burden was, let's translate the books by Martin Lloyd-Jones, let's translate books by John MacArthur, John Piper, and things like that. We didn't know how to do it. I never been trained, nobody ever told me how to translate, how to publish a book. And in 93, we got married. As soon as we came back from our honeymoon, we said to the church, we are going to do ministry and teaching the Bible and translating books. The church said, we don't care, we don't know what does it mean, don't ask us money, do what you want. So we started by faith, as a family, young family, to translate books, and the Lord provide month by faith. He was so gracious, he was so good for the family and translated the books. This year is 30 years of this kind of ministry. And every time we had a translation of a book, the Lord provided from Italy, from the distribution of the books we did, from churches around the world, churches in America, the funds for printing the books and spreading the books. Our policy has been always, we publish the book, a book. We print a book only when we have the money in bank. So we are debt-free, and we never had one debt. And God has been so gracious. So this is one of the books that my wife created. This is Simona. Simona is the worship leader in the church, married with Marcello, one of the elders. Next. And these are the titles that we publish. Nine Marks title, John Piper, R.C. Sproul, these are the titles that we publish. And these are the books that Simona ships almost every day all over Italy. So when you think about books, books are the way that God uses to reach out pastors, teachers all over Italy. And we train them from a distance. Okay, next. Here, piles of boxes. Next. And obviously we do conferences for pastors or for families where we teach, we invite preachers like Jerry and others, and we train them. And we did that for 30 years. Carry on. We want to be quicker. And this is the visitors that we have in our website every day. Today, something is happening. For example, there are many Pentecostal churches who are reading articles we publish and books we publish in secret because their pastor are not happy that they read the stuff that we published. And recently I had a lady from that kind of world telling me, look, you need to be ready as a ministry to see that very soon this young generation of people we have in our churches will leave their Pentecostal movement and will come to you because they understood what is the true gospel and the meaning of many doctrines that we find in the Bible. Next. This is Verona, the arena. This is Mantova, next, where we live. This is Colosseum. How many of you have been to Rome? Yeah, some of you. And this is what you find in the churches. Next, I cannot spend time here to tell you all about that. This is Rome. This is Rome again, the Pantheon. These are the catacombs in Rome where the first believers were meeting during the apostle time. And this is our group of men of the church that I'm training. Giuseppe, the guy I was talking about, is the third on the right, who is smiling. I mean, everybody's smiling here. Okay? And another thing that I'm doing is to bring some of the Italian future leaders to do training here in the States. We are here with a group of guys that were doing an intensive training at Capitol Hill. And this is Fabiano, and the other one on the right is Manuel, two Italian leaders who will were doing the training. Next year I'm bringing 15 people, Italian people, doing training at Capitol Hill Baptist Church with Mark Dever. Next one. This was a funeral that we did of a believer, and we had 300 non-believers coming to the funeral, and I preached the gospel there a few months ago. Next one, this is the funeral. Next one. So, finally, in the last years, many churches became more and more reformed through the conferences and through the books that we were publishing. So 2 years ago, a group of pastors, we prayed and decided to create a network like the Fire Fellowship that you are going to have next week for the Italian churches. And this network is called Chiese Soli Deo Gloria Churches Network, Italian Network. And what we do here is to encourage the local pastor, local churches, reform, and to live together, to be united, so that we can encourage each other and we can share the blessings and the hard times that we can have in the church. Because one of the main things, as I was saying in the beginning, is discouragement. And this church can be very alone and not very good connect with other local churches for different reasons. And these are three other pastors who are working with me for this network. Next one. Last year, we just, for example, said to five churches, let's start this meeting, let's invite just five churches, and 100 people came for the meeting. It was such a blessing to stay together, spend 3 days together, and sharing our testimony together. I want to stop here. I spoke a lot, I know. Any question? How many minutes? 5 minutes. So, any question? Yes. Yeah, we didn't have really anybody sick during the COVID, and nobody died in our church for COVID. We live just 1 hour where the hotspot of the COVID was. The town was Bergamo. We lived just half an hour. So it was very hard for us during the time. For 5 months, we couldn't go out for a walk. We just have to remain at home. So it was terrible, especially for the teenagers, for the kids. Regarding the church, COVID really united the church more and more. And as soon as we had the freedom to meet again in the local building, we did something that 90% of the churches didn't do. We started the service in presence, going to church with obviously mask, all the distance of things, blah, blah, blah. But the church grew up because we were willing to meet personally, in person in the local church. So we didn't lose anybody. No one ever thought to stay at home, but we had more people coming from other churches, and that was good, you know. And everybody was very happy to come back to church as soon as they can. And I think they appreciate the leadership that they take the stand to meet instead of having these boring Zoom meetings that... Yeah, two more questions, Jerry said. They do? What you said last?
A lot of people don't accept that they do wrong.
They don't accept, they don't care. It's so sad. When you talk with the people and you asking question, why you do that? Why you do this? What the reason? What is the biblical reason? They say, what, the Pope says that, the priest says that, I don't care what the Bible says. And they say they are Christians. You see? So it's so difficult because you have to tell them what a pastor can say or a priest can say can be wrong if the Bible doesn't approve that. So you have to go back to the Bible, to the fundamental, the basis, and say the Bible is the rule for our life and our spiritual growth. No matter what I say, no matter what the Pope says, no matter what Andrea says, what it matters is what the Word of God says. So you have to bring the people to the Bible. But then they say, well, the Bible has been written by man, and they changed the Bible, and so... The work is big, it's big, big. They never read the Bible. They ask us, oh, do you evangelical believe in the Bible? And we say, yes. And do you believe in the Gospels? Yes, of course. The Gospels are in the Bible. They don't even know that. Last question. Last. Yes. Yeah. Pray that we have the joy in the Lord to grow inside the church, but also to spread the word of God to the unbelieving community we are surrounded. Sometimes because we don't have the results that we expect or we would like or we are praying for, discouragement is always there. You know, the pressure is always there. What the Bible is teaching us that the good thing of the believer is to be consistent always. And keep preaching the word, keep preaching the word to ourselves, but also preaching the word to the people and to those who don't want to hear the word. This is the main struggles we have. So thank you for your time. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, Andrea. Also, building on what he said, that we often ran into people in Italy who said they were Christian atheists. And what they meant by that was, of course, you know, as pertaining to the Catholic Church, they were atheists. Pertaining to their belief in Christ, they were believers. So a rejection of religion and an acceptance of the Gospels on a is on the horizon. God's blessing that. Let's pray and ask God to bring this to our hearts. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Andrea and the brethren there in Mantova. Lord, use them as they desire to persevere through times of great discouragement. But Lord, we thank you that the gospel is going forth, books are being published, conferences are being organized, and people are being encouraged. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry for so many years, so faithful now, 30 years. Lord, continue to give them your strength, not help them to depend upon your mercy and grace. They desire to be a witness there in Mantova. We pray, Lord, for open hearts, open minds. Pray, Lord, for even for Marcello and Massimo as they're leading the church there while Andrea's here. We ask that you would bless their leadership and give them a great Lord's Day. Lord, meet us now in our time together in the next few minutes. Lord, inhabit the praises of your people and encourage, let us encourage one another in our ministry here, Lord. We pray for the gospel to go forth, the hearts to be tender to your truth. Help me, Lord, to preach your word. And we thank you, Lord, for mothers and the opportunity we have to draw from Proverbs to say thank you for all the mothers in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.